Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm not retired yet, but looking forward to. It's going to take me many years, but anyway, so I would like to thank Daryl Norton and Chua Wang, both from the Soil Erosion Lab, with whom I did most of the study that I'm going to, or the data that I'm going to present today here. Where's up and down? Here. Okay, so I'm going to show you a little bit about flocculation aggregation as ordering or organizing processes in the soils. Later, the difference between dispersion and flocculation in permanent versus variable charge soils. Calcium amendment response depending on chemical composition. So I will show results that both a source of electrolytes and alkalinity. And finally, that soil fertility is more than nutrients and toxic elements, saying that soil physics is also fertility. So I have 17 slides. I'm going to tell you about these three or four topics. The first one is that clay particle has been shown before. It's at the micro and sometimes a nano scale, so the things happen there, the double layer is there. But the responses in terms of infiltration, erosion, soil structure, and so on, happens at the soil profile, at the, and finally at the watershed, at the landscape, and at the watershed scale. So there's a lot of things going on, let's say, from this very small or large scale, depends how you look at, from the in the particle behavior to the soil response or the landscape response, to as shown by Daryl. Also, this topic on gypsum is very important because it affects two of the main flows in soils, water and air. Either too much water or too little water. So this is not mine. I borrowed this from Professor Bigham, but showing that it's quite important amount of losses due to drought stress or to flooding or waterlogging stresses. So gypsum has an effect on both, increasing water soil moisture and also increasing infiltration. So to start with, I think it's interesting that flocculation, aggregation structures are actually processes that produce organization, they produce order. So if you look this first slide, you know, energy and inflow of mass and energy is used exactly to make order, to make larger particles, larger units, more ordered. So starting from flocculation to aggregation to soil structure, that's a very important process in terms of, if you think in terms of the theory of, let's say, sustainability. Most of the time I talk about sustainability, I try to show, well, is it going towards order or is it going towards dissipation of energy and mass? Because on the other hand, erosion, dispersion, structure, degradation is a or are dissipative processes in the soil. Second, flocculation and dispersion depends a lot on clay mineralogy, whether the charges are permanent or variable, and the cations change as shown before. Most of the time, most results that have been shown here were on the first group of soils, the 2-to-1 type clay minerals that have a large negative net charge. They also have like smectites and vermiculites. They have like a large internal and external surface area. But also, I show in blue in those boxes that we have soils, these highly weathered soils like oxisols, ultisols, that might have positive net charge or negative depending on soil pH. So it depends when you think in terms of gypsum, and I'm talking about gypsiferous material that is a source of alkalinity, that as long as you work on these highly weathered soils, alfisol, versal, mulch, typical of, let's say, the Midwest U.S., you are fine. If it increases or not pH, you're fine. But if you go to the other end, to our right, working with oxisol and ultisols, then matter complicates a little bit. Well, this has been shown, you know, it's a matter of attraction. So there's always this negative body that attracts the positive ones, and there's this rheotropic series. Well, it changes depending on what is the mineral that's attracting the cations. But we have heard today or talked today about mostly look at the sodium, magnesium, calcium. But if you go to the highly weathered soils, aluminum is very important. Hydrogen is very, very important. So the results I'm going to show is going to be a little bit about that. Well, I'm going to go over this. This has been seen. But in terms of applying gypsum for soil structure, it's exactly what has been said before. Flocculation aggregation is increased by electrolyte concentration, by ion valence, or decreasing pH. So if you have, if you're applying a gypsiferous material that is both a source of electrolyte but also affect pH, so you have these conflicting forces, one trying to flocculate and the other one trying to disperse the soil system. So this, most of the data then, as I said, will be on this fluidized bed combustion bottom ash. A long name, but just let's say it's gypsiferous material of mixed nature because it is both a source of electrolytes and alkalinity. It has a mixture. This one was used from Purdue power plant. Mostly 73% was anhydride, just a calcium sulfate without the two water molecules. There's some lime, well, significant amount of lime still, and then traces less amount of calcium hydroxide, carbonate, and a very little of gypsum as we know it. But this material has a very high electrical conductivity, a one-to-one paste here, our solution, 11 decisiemen per meter, and high pH. So it's a source of electrolyte and of alkalinity. So I'm going to show now two groups of soil. The first group of soils is about permanent charge soils. So you can see on those X-rays, diffractogram, the SM is smectite, VM is vermiculite, MI is illite or mica. So these soils are from the Midwest, from U.S. Soils. And, well, we did several studies, but I'll use water infiltration as the measurement of soil structure because it tells about pore size, pore continuity, stability of a structure at the soil surface. And you can see that for all these soils, vertisols, three vertisols, one alphasol and one aridisol, had a positive response when this gypsiferous material was applied to the soil. So no problem. So if you have a material from this data, if you have a material that also affects pH, there won't be a negative effect on infiltration and erosion. And the less effectiveness it was observed for soils with illite and with very high smectite. So although smectitic soils were responsive, but too much, or this one soil that does Hoytville soil, that is illitic, there was not such a big effect. Okay, now moving to variable charge soils, you see that you don't have smectites, you don't have vermiculites, you have some hydroxy interlayer vermiculite, but mostly kaolinite, and we also measured gaitite and hematite by differential X-ray, not shown here, but all these soils also had hematite, gaitite, and gibbsite. What we see here is that the response was highly dependent on the effect of pH on the net charge. So we did this titration curves showing there with the 0.0 salt effect. And then we measured pH of a soil solution, the amount of gypsiferous material that was needed to cause soil flocculation. So you see that the soils flocculated at different pHs. And we use these curves just to see what was the increase in net charge and the increase in pH and see if this increase in net charge counteracted the effect of alkalinity. So what we observed is then combining the critical flocculation concentration with the net charges is that it had a good effect, a positive effect, when the difference in pH was low, there was not much of charge increase, and the final pH was not that high. By contrast, low, number two, when there was high net charge and high final pH, there was a negative effect. And infiltration was always more affected than erosion, for good or for bad, either decreasing or increasing or decreasing soil erosion. We did some fin section analysis. There was no correlation between steady state infiltration rate and total porosity, pore shape, different pore shapes, and so on. So it really has to do about pore continuity and clay expansion and contraction. We also wanted to measure the lasting effect in time. And we observed that on high smectite and illite soils, this effect was longer lasting, showing that physical chemical effects are predominant. And when we go to kaolinitic and epoxidic soils, those effects were less, probably because mechanical effects are dominant in the sealing, the surface sealing process. In some soils, even the applying this gypsophilous material caused a washed-in surface, washed-in layer, and reduced significant water infiltration. Okay, that was about this mixed material. Now I'm going to present some results from the literature. This one is drainage, effect of drainage. So you have 0, 4, 12 years of surface applied gypsums at the annual rate of 1,500 pounds. So every year was that amount. There was a reduction in soil turbidity and light transmitted with respect to, not a reduction, less turbidity and higher light transmittance with the gypsum application rate. So suspension was clearer, especially under the long-term gypsum, which means that less dispersed particles are moving with the leachate. But they observed, this lady, actually, Tirado Corbala, didn't observe any effect on aggregates. This is old data, but very interesting. The reason I brought it here is Radcliffe from Georgia, is that gypsum, this is pure gypsum, it's not our, the gypsum I was talking before also as well, a reduction in mechanical impedance. Greater increase, just follow this blue line, you can see that water increases in depth with application rates. There the rates are from 2.5 to 25 tons per hectare. But you see that with time it moves down, and the higher the rate, the deeper the effect on moisture increase. So finally, I just told you that flocculation aggregation are ordering processes, that we should be careful when thinking applying gypsophilous materials at the soil surface. Even nowadays we see in Brazil applying lime on no-till soil, it's sometimes disturbing the soil surface. So calcium maintenance depends on the chemical composition, so it's a combination of chemicals, mineralogy, and surface charges. Finally, to tell you that soil physics is very important in defining soil fertility. I found this book by Alfred Vivian, 1912. I think we kind of, during the years, moved, you know, to think of soil fertility only in terms of nutrients. And he says in his book, page 16, that the proper condition of moisture is the most important single factor in determining the fertility of land. So he mentions clearly he has a larger concept of soil fertility. So finally, if you have a chance, visit that. There's a lot of soluble calcium there. But be careful if you are polar. You might dissolve. So thank you.